Welcome to the Writer's Well podcast, conversations about writing from craft to wellness with me, Rachel Herron, and Jay Thorne.
Hey.
Hello, Jay.
How you doing?
The amazing, famous Jay
Thorne.
Oh,
my gosh. I'm just distracted because your hair is so rad today.
Oh, yeah. You know what happened? I washed it. And I brushed it. And in fact, it is so shiny and pretty that I literally turned the camera off because I was looking at it. So thanks for saying that. Not to be too vain, but usually my hair looks like shit. You know that because I don't wash it every day. I wash it like every 4 days. And I think I've told you that it's my one physical vanity now that it's gone silver.
Like, yeah.
I have dreams that I've accidentally dyed it.
you look like a... some like sorceress from an epic fantasy novel or something.
You're saying all the right things. Thank you. Your hair, gotta say, looks all curly and soft.
It's humidity.
Okay.
That's all. There's nothing special.
I'm sure you didn't hear about our humidity, but we are having like crisis times.
You guys had rain. You had a thunderstorm.
We not only did we have that thunderstorm, but we had this lightning strike complex, which has lit fires all over. The last time this happened was in 2008, and I ended up working the fires up in further north of us, and they burned for months and just basically burned California down. And that's what's happening now. And I don't think people are realizing that yet. Like, everybody's like, oh, it's a little smoky today. That's because there are 11 fires around us.
Wow.
And the lightning hasn't stopped yet. It's still really overcast and creepy. And there was a great tweet that I saw that was on Nextdoor, you know that app.
Oh yeah.
Or I'm not on it, but some Californian put, you know, I heard an explosion, and then there was a flash of light, and then there was this rumbling noise, and I don't know what's going on. What's happening in the neighborhood? Because Californians do not here. We do not get thunder and lightning.
Yeah.
I know you guys probably get it all the time, but we panic and it starts these fires that burn for months.
Crazy.
So. My sister lives on the coast in this inaccessible location in the woods, one road in, one road out. And I like messaged her while it was happening, like, get out. And she did. She bugged out. She packed a bag. She and her roommates got out. So
good.
Yeah. Exciting time.
Yeah, sure is.
How's writing going for you?
Good. I got a little bit of news. Yeah. As you're listening to this, yesterday, I published 5 books.
You guys, listeners, I'm as surprised as you are. What the fuck?
All right, let me explain though. This is a brand new career author series that Zach and I have been working on.
I have heard about.
Yeah, this is the Steve Scott model where we're doing like these short 10,000-word books on a very specific topic, and the series title is called 9 Things Career Authors Don't Do. And so we have the things that career authors don't do related to personal finance and exercise and mornings. And I asked some great friends to contribute. So co-wrote with Janet Kitto and Jimmy Essien and Sasha Black and Daniel Wilcox. And we have 5 books that dropped. This big experiment. So we dropped 5 books yesterday, and then 4 more a few weeks from now, and then we probably have 2 or 3 more after that. So we're trying to come up with these different angles and different topics, and hopefully we'll give folks some very specific advice on very specific topics.
That is so cool, and that is one of those things you told me about and you asked me to be part of, and then I immediately was like, I flake. No, I'm not gonna have time to do that. But I love the specificity. I love the shortness. What's the price point you're going to launch them at?
The intro is going to be 99 cents as sort of a lead
gen. Or the very first one.
For the very first one. And then it's going to be $2.99 for all the rest.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
You could even probably push that to $3.99 at some point
because
it is nonfiction.
Might
like
do
I,
that, yeah.
I, even if it's short, if it's nonfiction, I click that buy button.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting. Congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Like I said, it's a big experiment. I have, I got my friend Brian is running AMS ads, and he's a super whiz pro at that. And you know, we have different people who are co-writing have their own audiences. So like, you know,
right.
Daniel and Sasha have like 18 podcasts between the two of them. they're almost as bad as me. So like, yeah, what we're really hoping is that once someone gets into the series, they're going to want them all.
Yeah.
So
totally.
Like any sort of entry point, and it's nonlinear, so you can read them in any order, and we'll see how it goes.
I love that. And I'm going to be buying them all, of course.
Thank you.
Because I love that stuff. Congratulations. I honestly thought it wasn't going to happen for a while. And of course, like everything else you do, it's like, it happened yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yep, got to do it. Let's go. We got, I mean, I wanted to, the other experiment was publishing, you know, more than one book or two books at a time. And technically these are in a series and I've never done that. And I talked to the guy who's running the AMS ads and I'm like, what would you recommend? I'm going to have 9 books. Like, and he's like, well, why don't you do like half now and half in a few weeks? And then, you know, we'll kind of see how it goes. So I've never released that many books at one time. So we'll see.
Would you do the next release of the 4 after the 30-day slide?
It'll be,
does that make sense?
Like, it'll be like right in the 3 to 4 week mark. So it'll be right within that, right, so where they would start dipping. I'm going
right.
to shoot 4 more in there. And then, and there might be as many as three to four more 3 weeks after that. And then we'll see. And like, I didn't want people to go write like too many because like I said, it's an experiment and
right,
you know,
right.
there is an investment in time and cover and editing and that sort of thing. But I also wanted to release enough that we can make like a big splash and see if we can really hook the algorithm and get that going in our favor.
How do you work out? I know we're going deep on this, but I'm so curious. How do you work out paying people? Is it just math you do on your end and send it to them?
Yeah. It's just going to
be no app or anything.
No, I mean, well, I'm going to use Abacus from Publish Drive because we're doing minimally viable product. We're only doing ebook in Kindle Unlimited to start just to see what
perfect.
Happens.
Yeah.
And so with Abacus, I'll be able to easily just drag and drop my royalty reports. It'll show me how much I need to pay people and then I could just pay them through PayPal.
Really? I don't know about this Abacus thing.
Oh, really?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So it's a service with Publish Drive. I think it's like $3 per title per month. Mm-hmm. But if you're co-writing, you drag and drop your royalty reports into Abacus, which
and
is
it
the
breaks it
and
out
it just
for you?
Show it breaks up shows them what you pay them. You can manually enter like expenses, so like if you spent money on ads, you put in the total and the percentage breakdown, and it automatically just says pay them this much. And
that's amazing.
Yeah, and they're working towards full integration with PayPal, so I think it's going to get
that'll
to a
perfect.
Point where not only does it break it apart, but it then sends the payments.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was wondering if you had something like that because I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on your 40,000 releases this week. Good job. I am in my world, I'm still working on the same damn book because I got new revisions back on my plate. So you are publishing everything and I'm still working on Hush Little Baby. But it's all good. In other business news, we would like to say a huge thank you to Catherine Spader, who joined us at our level where you get to be in our Slack channel and our writing together. And Catherine, you're awesome. And I saw that you left a comment this week. So thank you. Thank you to all of our patrons. We really appreciate you.
Yes, we do. And Catherine's great. She's been...
Oh, you know her?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Super cool.
Yay. What about comments?
All right. Last week's episode was number 188. And the question was, what are you going to say to your future me? And this seemed to trip a few people up here and there, didn't it?
I was a little surprised by that, actually.
Yeah. It kind of caught people on their, you know, put them back on their heels. They weren't quite sure how to answer.
Yeah.
Of course, Christopher starts off and says, you know, today he's a content and laid back person who can take knocks. So he's not sure he needs to say anything to his future me. That's so Christopher.
But if forced, he would say, if you haven't got a best-selling book yet, get the bloody work done.
Yes.
See what you do when you apply yourself. And he says, oh, did I mention I have a touch of arrogance? And we both basically said, you said every artist needs a bit of swagger. I said every artist needs to have a bit of narcissism because otherwise we wouldn't do this.
Yes.
We have to, at the same time, like believe that we're the best and also like that we suck.
Yeah. That's, yeah. Right. Incredibly self-critical with no self-esteem, followed by a touch of narcissism.
It's a perfect balance. Yeah.
Jenny Clark talked about sending some photos.
I liked that.
Which was a great idea. I hadn't thought about that.
She's starting a forest garden, which I just assume that is what it sounds like. And I would, how cool is that? You're starting something that will take a really long time to happen.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And that could work with many other kinds of things.
Definitely. Jeff said he has no conception of what life will look like in 10 years. He wouldn't even know where to start that letter.
10 years, things change a lot, as yes, you said.
Yes, they do. Yeah. A Rachel, not you, but another Rachel, said she's done this on and off since she was a teenager. That is so cool. That's
very, very cool.
Yep.
We used to do it every year at RWA that I was involved with. At our Christmas party, we would write a letter to our year, a year later, us. And I think a year is not long enough.
Yeah.
Because every year I'd say kind of the same thing and I'd get the same letter back and go, all right, you know, cool.
Yep.
Still working hard.
Yeah. Kim said that as an aside, her sixth grade class did a time capsule and they put something in it. Unfortunately, no one remembers where we buried it.
And I have done that. I used to bury treasures for myself and I don't know where they are. I don't know where I lived when I did them. Yeah,
that's great. Yep. Stephanie said she once wrote a trilogy about friends who'd written letters to their future selves and when they received them 10 years later had to reassess what they'd done with their lives to that point.
I love that
idea. And then
idea.
She still didn't do it for herself.
The best. Because it does sound a little scary.
Yeah,
yes.
It is. It is scary. There's no doubt it is. Yeah, Maggie said that she was intrigued so much that she searched the Google how to, and you can do this in any Gmail account. The send button, yeah. I guess you can set to email at a future time. So that's
I didn't know that. I always use Boomerang for that or Sanebox. But yep. She also put a little letter to herself in there. And I really like the last line that she sent to herself. Be brave, love hard, and remember to play.
Yeah. Really nice. Really yeah. Nice. Yep. Catherine said great wisdom often comes from great comedy. She's talking about it just doesn't matter.
It just doesn't matter.
Yep. So, and she would say, she would just email one simple question. Have you gotten over yourself yet?
Which maybe connects to that narcissism edge that we all have. I love that.
Another one line gem from Monique who said, it's okay. You just didn't know any better.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
I really, really like that.
I love that.
Be nice to ourselves.
Yeah. And Edwin said, this is the toughest question yet. We really shook Edwin with this one.
I love it. Edwin does not usually get easily shook.
No. And he's like, I have no idea how to answer it. Maddie said, there's some great ideas here for a single important message you'd want to send your future self. But it would also be fun to use such a delayed delivery function to send yourself daily emails that would remind you of the less grand but still interesting things, which is a great idea.
I like that idea. She said 1 year ago, but I would love to see emails from myself like 10 years ago. I think that would be cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Chad said, what would I say to my future self? And he has 5 things listed there. And the last one is, I hope you bought extra insurance since your oldest daughter is driving now.
Chad, I hope you did and that you never, ever have to use it. That is our wish for you.
It is. Yep. And if anyone listens to the Career Author podcast, you know that Chad Boyer started the whole landmark episode thing. And so I wasn't sure if I could cross streams that way and bring that little inside joke here, but that's why I told him that was a landmark comment.
I saw that. I heard that. That was good. Awesome comments, everybody. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Very good.
In the world. And I have a question for you today.
Yes, you do.
It is a little bit of a revisit, but it is the revisit that we are passionate about. So I can't wait to hear your answer for this. And I have a new answer for it myself since I have the benefit of knowing this question. Here is the question. Right now, how do you optimize your writing output?
Oh.
What tips and tricks are you using right now to optimize your productivity, basically?
So my writing output right now is kind of shit.
Good time for me to ask it.
Yeah.
Then.
Like, let me back up. So I have this terrible habit of only thinking of first drafting as writing.
Yes. Yes.
That's terrible. I hate when I do that.
I
catch myself doing that all the time. Because I was about to say, well, I'm not writing anything right now. And what I meant to say was, I'm not first drafting anything right now. So I don't remember how I answered this last time, but I'll just say what it is now. It's time blocking. And I don't know if we've talked about this much. So I don't use like Asana or Trello. I don't use to-do lists. I don't use journals. I don't use bullet journals.
Jesus Christ. I use every single thing.
I'm not passing judgment. The only thing I use to organize my entire life, both business and personal, is Google Calendar.
You love your Google Calendar.
I do. And one of the things that a realization I came to, and it's funny because Zach turned me on to Cal Newport's newest podcast. You know, you guys might know Cal Newport from Deep Work and Digital Minimalism.
Is the podcast good? I knew it was out there, but I haven't listened to it.
Yeah, it's good. It's definitely worth it. There's a lot of samey questions that come up, but it's good. And what Cal and researchers have discovered in both in research and anecdotally is that some of the most productive people in the world block time. They don't have to-do lists. Because what happens is when you have a to-do list, you get hyper-focused on knocking out the little itty-bitty stuff, and you never get to the really important deep work. And so that's something I came to on my own. And so I don't remember when I started this. It would have been shortly after I went full-time. Now what I do with my calendar is I block time. So I will take, let's say, Tuesday from 9 to noon. I'll make an appointment on my calendar from 9 to noon that says, you know, work on manuscript revisions. Mm. And that is all I do. And I don't necessarily do it every day, although I could, but I color code it. So I have different activities. I have podcasting, I have marketing, I have email and list management, I have writing. All of those get a different color, and I schedule them. And it goes week to week. So some weeks I might have to spend almost every day on a writing project. Other weeks I might not be in a writing project at all. I might have like a challenge to build, or I might have a podcast. So what I do is every Sunday I look at the upcoming week and I block my time, and I say, okay, this is, and I usually do two big blocks a day. That's about, intellectually, that's about where I stay sharp. So I look at like 9 to 1, I would say, and then like 3 to 6, sometimes 7. Mm-hmm. And I have a little break in between for meals and stretching and seeing what my kids are up to. But two big blocks, and I try not to schedule like 8 little things in there, because it just chips away at the deep work. So I try and make those blocks for like, and it's one project in the morning and one project in the afternoon. And I typically like to switch, so I won't necessarily double up.
Right.
But I get to the little stuff, because what I'll do is I'll create a block and it'll say like email list management, and it's 3 hours. And then I go in and I check off all that little piddly shit that I have to do, like the autoresponder and the tags and like the list purge and like all of that, but that's in a block. So it doesn't creep out into like all of my deep work and other stuff.
That is fascinating. How good are you at following the block? Like because I'm really good when I do a block of like, you know, from 9 to noon, 9 to 1, I'm going to be writing or revising. But when it says something like build Facebook ads, I'm like, well, I should probably be cleaning something in the house. You know, how good are you at actually following the rules?
I'm pretty good at it because I strike the bargain with myself. Like, I know we've talked about before, there are things that we don't like doing that we have to do. Everyone has that in their life, no matter what. So I don't live under the fantasy that, well, I just don't ever have to do that stuff. Like, I know I have to do it, but I make a deal with myself, and I'm like, okay, if you get the most important work done on, say, Tuesday and Wednesday, which are my big deep work days, mm-hmm. If you get that done, then you get a reward. So I might, like, I'll save Monday and Thursday for administrative stuff like Facebook ads and Amazon ads, things I hate, because I know like on Monday that if I get it done, I get Tuesday and Wednesday to go deep, which is a reward for me.
That's fabulous.
And then
that's
on
great.
Thursday, my other admin day, my reward is Friday is a do what I want day.
Really?
Yeah. So on Friday, I still work, but I let myself do whatever I want. So if I want to sit and like read a business book for 2 hours, I do that. If I want to get extra words in, I do that. If I want to just read articles about on writing and different blogs, I do. It's just, like I said, it's not a day off.
That's the biggest like reward.
Yeah.
Ever.
And that's at the end of the week. So I've gotten my, you know, technically speaking, I've gotten my words in, I've gotten my admin work done. And Friday is still work, but it's like I get to do whatever I want to do on Fridays.
This is so good. I knew this question would be interesting because you and I are always, always changing and iterating and doing things better for ourselves. So
how about you?
I have two new tools, and I think I've mentioned one of them on here, but this damn iPad is so useful for me. I have been using it as a digital planner / Bujo / journal / everything that I've always written down. I learned that in iPad, you can get an app called GoodNotes. And GoodNotes basically does everything, and it has incredible OCR.
Yeah.
So optical character recognition. So all of my notes now are searchable. And instead of doing them in these little, you know, ledgers or whatever, they're all on there. They're all backed up to the cloud. God forbid that they go away. But everything is searchable. And I'm really, really enjoying just even the tactile feeling of writing on a matte screen protector with the Apple Pencil. Did you used to do that?
I had a PC laptop with a stylus, but I never used it.
Okay. I'm using the hell out of it. So that has been really good at keeping me organized and focused. But in terms of this whole blocking time thing, I'm doing something new and I'm so excited about it, and it has been terrifying. So let me tell you.
Yeah.
I use SaneBox, which if an email lands in my email that I don't want to deal with right now, I just send it to a time in the future. You could also use Boomerang for that, but I've been using SaneBox for so long that I use that. I also use Boomerang. I've been using it for maybe a year now to keep email out of my inbox. It only lands in my inbox at 11, 3, and 7 p.m. Which, okay, so this is a fantastic problem to have, but I seem to have hit this critical mass of people who are writers and some readers who want and need my attention.
Yes.
And my email inbox is full of them right now. And I love them and I love responding to them. But that whole thing you said, how the smaller work creeps into the bigger work, this creep has been insidious and email has been killing me. So what I did was I am now only receiving email into my inbox on Monday afternoons and Friday afternoons.
Nice.
I have an autoresponder that goes up that says I get email on Mondays and Fridays. If it's urgent, reply back with urgent and then it'll come through. I also have people like you and my wife and my best friends who always come into the inbox. Ed, my assistant, always comes into the inbox. Everybody is kept out. And what that means is that I'm not subconsciously waiting for 11 to roll around to see what I'm going to have to deal with at 11. I have days where no email is coming in. So when I sit down at the desk and I'm doing a 3 or 4 hour writing block, nothing else is happening but that writing. And it has been so good. And the thing is, nothing is that important.
No,
it really isn't. And if it is that important, somebody's going to call me.
Yeah.
You know, if it's actually like the fire has hit the hill, run, somebody will call me, and email is not that important. So, so then I get this huge block of time where I just sit down and do it. But honestly, Jay, email had been taking over almost 3 to 4 hours a day.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. So it has been, and then when you get a ton of it, like I did on Friday, I am very, very motivated to respond back heartfelt with all of my attention in one or two sentences.
Yeah.
Because now I know that I can't write 4 paragraphs, 9 paragraphs back to this person. I can send them a resource and my heartfelt response and then move to the next one as fast as I can.
Right.
And it has been going so, so, so well. I guess the third tool that I have been using to optimize writing output is, I think I told you that Becca Syme, we all worship Becca Syme, she gave me the permission to work all the time.
Yes.
Because I am an achiever. And I have been using weekends just the way you use Fridays.
Nice.
Which is, I get to work, but it is only on what makes my heart sing. Like only like lying around reading productivity books or business books or sending emails because I'm actually inspired to email my list. So that has been so much fun. And putting these fun things into place, like this silly planner that I'm doing on the iPad now, I get to decorate it.
Yeah.
I get to steal any image that is on the internet because nobody's going to see it. I'm not selling this. This is only for my eyes. I totally steal other people's artwork and decorate it. You know, it feels good.
Yes.
It makes my brain relax. And when I'm I guess when I'm feeling good, I am writing well, and I have just been, you and I have been talking off camera about some things, and I've just been so on fire with ideas lately. And it feels, it's like the opposite of burnout.
Yes.
It is just burn. Yeah. It is to go along with our fire theme today. It is just burning passionately with work that I love.
That's awesome.
I know. It's good.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
So, yeah. So I guess I would love to hear from people. How do they optimize their writing productivity?
Great question.
Output.
That was fun.
Thank you. I loved hearing your answers. I wish I could Google Calendar like you do, because I've actually seen your Google Calendar and it is a scary sight to see. Like, it is so many colors. So your days are full.
But well, all of our days are full, but like, it's intentional fullness. It's not like letting other people fill it for me.
I actually did do time blocking for a few weeks just to see if it would work for me, and it stressed me out and I let myself down. I kept missing time blocks.
Oh yeah.
So for me, it just didn't work, and then I would beat myself up for it.
Yeah.
Which is why I asked that specific question.
Yeah.
Oh, good stuff.
That was fun. Yeah. Great question. I can't wait to hear what people have to say how they do it.
Yes. So please come over to thewriterswell.org and let us know how you optimize your writing output. And if any of these tips have rung any bells in your brain.
Awesome.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you.
Happy writing.
Same to you. Bye.